There can be this lovely reciprocal back and forth, which allows you to build those relationships with your readers, which then does make it more likely that they're going to go on and buy your book. But it's also just kind of nice to be having these conversations and to just not have this very flat version of how we use social media, which is just to kind of broadcast or use it as a bulletin board. Instead, we use it to build three-dimensional relationships where there are people who you're having genuine, meaningful conversation with.
Hello and welcome to episode 49 of the Creating Happy Writers podcast. Thank you for joining me today. And if you're someone who's listened for a while now, thank you so much for returning and listening again. If you're brand new and you're looking to write a business boosting book in your niche, not only are you in the right place, but you are extremely welcome in the Happy Writers community. I'm a multi-published author and a writing coach on a mission to take the overwhelm, confusion, and frustration out of the writing process and give you the confidence and knowledge to pursue your writing goals. I'm also all about more female writers sharing their expertise by stepping into the space in their niche that only they can occupy. Because, my lovely, lovely friend, there's space for all of us to share our knowledge with those who need it. If you want to get even more support from me, head on over to Substack, where you can subscribe to my free weekly newsletter, which is all about writing and publishing. Or if you're feeling so inclined and would like to support my work further, you can become a paid subscriber. You can find me at stephcaswell.substack.com. You can also now buy a copy of my book, Dare to Write, on my website. It's a book for people who are thinking of writing a non-fiction book to help grow their business and elevate their message to the next level. It's at stephcaswell.com/shop. You can also find it on Amazon. And finally, my Foundations course is available to you if you're right at the start of your writing journey. It's an 8-week group program that teaches you the 3 foundational pillars to writing non-fiction, without which writing your book becomes harder than it needs to be. The next cohort begins in May. Links to Substack, my book, and the Foundations course are in the show notes. Let's dive in then to today's episode, which is another brilliant guest episode, this time with social media expert Nicola Washington. Nicola is a social media strategist who specialises in teaching writers how to use Instagram to build their readership. After 12 years as a secondary school teacher, Nicola retrained as a social media manager and spent 7 years working with small businesses and brands. At the start of 2023, she pivoted to supporting writers with their online profiles, bringing her work life more in line with her passions. Nicola is an avid reader and is currently working on her first novel. She lives in London with her husband, 2 children, and a socially awkward whippet. During our conversation, we chat about common problems writers have when using social media and, more importantly, how to use it to connect with your audience and have them chomping at the bit to buy your books. We also talk about how to make social media a manageable task when it comes to book promotion, to take away the overwhelm which can stop so many authors from using it to promote their books and build a community. We have a little chat about Substack too. It's a platform for writers and we're both learning from the experience of being there. If you're thinking about joining it, we share what we think are the great bits about Substack and also the not so great. And finally, Nicola has so many tips in this episode for using social media to your advantage. They're just simple, practical strategies to adopt when building your author brand. And I think you're going to get so many ideas and inspiration from this episode. So let's dive in.
I wanted to start off our conversation just by asking you, like, how did you get to the point where your focus is writers and supporting writers on social media? Like, how did that evolve? So I used to be a secondary school teacher and I retrained in 2016, sort of 2016 through into 2017 as a social media manager for small businesses, because once I'd had my 2 children, I realized that having like an all-consuming job like teaching alongside like my husband, partner, we weren't married at the time, my husband has a really demanding job as well, and I just couldn't make it work. So I was looking for something that I could do, and I'd already been blogging, I'd already been using Instagram to promote my blog, and then I came across an organization called Digital Moms who meant I could retrain as a social media manager for small businesses.
So I then did that for sort of 6 years, and it was kind of like a meeting of several circumstances all at once at the very end of 2022, when obviously things were really difficult in the economy, and quite a number of my small business clients were really struggling and had to cut my hours. And so I had this like gap in my income open up. And at around the same time, I was having conversations with my writing group. So I've been in a writing group. I write fiction since 2020. And around the time that this gap in my income opened up, I was also having lots of conversations with the other writers in my writing group, supporting them really casually with using social media themselves to promote their books, because there's six of us in our writing group. And at the time, four of us had either been published or were about to be published. And I sort of thought, oh my God, this is something I could do. Like, I could do this, and it would allow me to really bring together the things I'm really interested in and passionate about, alongside these skills that I've developed over this 6 year period working for small businesses and social media. And I sort of had this like eureka moment. Like instantly voice noted a couple of the writers in my writing group and said, what do you think? And they were like, do it. We've been looking for support. We're desperate for support. Like, loads of people are constantly talking about the support they need. A friend of mine is a book coach, and she was saying that she regularly gets people in her cohort asking for advice about social media. And so I started sort of dipping a toe in at the start of 2023. And then I finished working with my very last business client in June last year. And since then, I've been working solely with writers.
It's incredible.
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, and as a writer as well, what a joy to just be doing your work within that environment, that community. And do you feel that it's a gap that's widening in terms of author knowledge around social media? Is there even more demand for it because people are beginning to realize, I guess, with the rise of stuff like BookTok and TikTok, and the fact that there are so many authors getting publishing deals off the back of a social media channel like that, do you feel like it's something that's growing?
I do. And I think off the top of my head, I think there's two main reasons for that. The first is that the platforms themselves are getting more demanding. And so there is just more to get your head around. You know, if you were a writer using Instagram in 2014, you had a really limited amount of things to think about, and it was just much more straightforward. The general size of the platform was smaller. It was a little bit slower. You were only really using images. And so I think there's that element. So suddenly there's this, if you haven't grown up with social media, kind of, I always describe that I've kind of like, I got in just as it was really starting to ramp up. The pace was really starting to ramp up. So I've sort of grown my skills as the platforms have developed. But if you're coming in now and there's this huge amount of knowledge that you feel like you need in order to use the platforms, I think that it just feels quite daunting and quite intimidating for a lot of writers. And then the second element, I think, is just the way the industry itself has changed. So you've got independent writers who are doing everything themselves, so they don't have a publisher to help them at all. And then even if you're traditionally published, from, you know, anecdotally and you know, friends' experiences, and even wider than that, you know, kind of just the chat in the writer's space, is that writers are getting less and less support from the publishers, because the publishers themselves are publishing more and more books, and they just don't have the resource to spread across writers. So unless they, you know, they might pluck out a few titles that are going to be kind of like their hero titles, their lead titles, or if you've already got like a huge platform, so they feel like you're a pretty safe bet to invest their marketing budget into, people are getting really scant support. And I know, you know, I've spoken to people who work in marketing and publishing, and I know it really upsets them that they can't do more for more writers, because you end up working in publishing because you love books and you want to support writers getting their books out there. And I know they don't love the fact that they can't help everybody as much as people want to be helped. So I think there's also that gap that's opened up where people, authors, are now stepping into that marketing role much more readily, partly because the opportunity is there with social media, but also partly because the support isn't there from the publishers as well.
I agree. I find that publishers focus a lot of their marketing energy, and probably rightly so to a degree, on their big hit authors. You see the stuff that goes into them and you're like, wow, like obviously this must be what it's like for every author. And then you're like, you're a debut or you're a mid-list author and it's like, no, you like, you know, we might mention something about your, you know, your book coming out on a particular day on pub day or whatever. And then you, that's it really. And they do rely on you. And I talk to people who are writing book proposals quite often and I'll say to them, they will be expecting you in this proposal to talk really, really in detail about how you're going to market this and how you're going to promote it by yourself, because they don't have, like you say, the wide sort of team of people that maybe you assume they would have, because you see these big authors who get these amazing marketing campaigns and it's just not like that. And I think what you're doing is brilliant, because people are then able to come to you and like, okay, I see this is like a business thing. I've got to treat it like a business. Even like you say, even traditionally published authors have to see their marketing and their promotion and the ongoing sales of their book as a business. It can't be, well, my book's out there and hopefully some people will hear about it. It'll be word of mouth and all that sort of thing. It's just not the case. So
it isn't. And I always think, you know, when you've spent so long writing a book, you know, could be years of your life producing this thing, like to not have people know that it's out there. I just think, why, you know, like use this tool. Like I know, you know, social media is not perfect. I'm not like evangelical about it. I am very aware of the pitfalls, but it is a tool that, you know, that most people can access to some level to reach more of their readers. Because when you've spent all that time producing something, you've got to want it to find its audience.
It's exhausting though. I think from an author's perspective, I know that it's almost one of the things I know I have to do more of in terms of book promotion. But with the, I mean, it's different slightly for me, I guess, because I run a business. So the business side of my social media has to feature as well. But it's almost like God, I haven't said anything about my book for ages. I better do something. And I think it's about being very strategically, you know, intentional with talking about your book. And I spoke to Lucy Werner on Instagram Live a couple of years ago I think now, and she said that she just said, if you stop talking about your book, people stop buying your book. And I thought, it's so simple, but in reality it can feel, I suppose it feels like hard work, yes, but also it's like, God, I'm still talking about my book. Are people going to be like, oh, shut up about your book already? But actually, nobody is like that, because actually people just want the best for you, like the majority of the time. And they just want to know what you're doing and what your book's about. And if we don't talk about it, they're not going to buy it. So it's so important.
There's a great, I always fall back on when people say that to me, oh, you know, I'm bothering people, or people are going to get sick of me or bored of hearing about my book. I always say, well, first of all, make the most generous assumptions you can about people, because is that how you would react if somebody was talking about their book? Or would you be thinking, actually, you know, crack on, because you've done this thing and you need to tell people about it. And I totally get that. And I support you in doing it. I think most people fall into that camp and fall into the kind of looking sideways or down their nose at you for talking about this thing that you've created. And so I always think, yeah, make generous assumptions about people. And then also, even if you find that difficult, just the statistics speak for themselves. Because perhaps it's a bit of a double-edged sword, because it could be one of the most depressing things about social media, but it could also be one of the most sort of freeing things if you're trying to promote something and you feel a bit awkward, which is that Instagram, which is my sort of specialist area, on Instagram, you're doing really, really well if 30% of your audience see any given post on any given day, and you're doing really well if you get to 30%. If a benchmark is more likely to be around 10% of your audience. So that's a huge number of people who don't see every single one of your posts. And then when you factor in the fact that people are usually seeing your posts in the middle of a scroll, and so you, you know, as harsh as it may sound, they may just forget that they've even seen your post 10 seconds after they've seen it. Then if you factor in that as well, it starts to, I think that can be quite sort of liberating, and you start to realize that actually you're not bothering anybody. What you're doing is giving them another opportunity to find out about your book and to then go on to become a reader, to buy it, and possibly even to share it with their own audience as well, because that's one of the other great things about social media is that, you know, I call it word of mouth with a megaphone, where, you know, you're not just telling one person about your book, you're telling lots, and they may go on to tell lots of people of their own about your book as well.
And you also, you never know who's listening or watching. You just never know. Somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. It's just, so, I mean, I think we forget that. We sort of are in our own little bubble and we think, oh, our immediate followers might get annoyed if I keep talking about it. But actually, like you say, if somebody then shares it, who then shares it with someone else, who then happens to be, I don't know, whatever your aspirations are, whatever your ambitions are, but it could be like a commissioning editor who's like, oh, actually, you know, I'm interested in that sort of thing. You just don't know. And I always find that's the power of social media, is you can sometimes get contacted by people and you're like, oh, okay, like,
where have you come from? Yeah, because of course I think one of the things we perhaps forget about social media, because we call it social media, is originally it was social networking. You know, that social media networking, you're building up a network of contacts, and sometimes you may not even realize that's happening, that quite a lot of people might be lurking, or you may be getting silent engagement on your post, that for whatever reason people are just reading and looking and not interacting, so you don't even know that they are paying attention. I think it can be liberating to sort of just bear that in mind as well, so you're not fixating on how many followers have you got, or how many likes has your post got, or how many comments has your post got, or how many views has your video got. You're not fixating on those things. You're thinking about it more as kind of a piece of the puzzle that you need to get word out about your book.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right around that piece of the puzzle, because we're not relying on it completely, social media. We're not like, well, this is the only thing I'm going to do to market and talk about my book. But it has to be, I think, an integral part of the wider marketing strategy, your wider kind of hope that we're going to reach more readers, because it is so brilliant in so many ways. Obviously, there are the downsides to social media, but for authors and for people out there who are trying to promote their books, it's such a great way to get more readers and people just engaging with your community and getting to know you as an author. And I think that's sometimes what's also missing, in my opinion, is that sometimes authors maybe just talk about their book and they don't let the reader see the other side of them. They don't let them see the desk they write at, or, you know, what their little writing habits are. And I find those sort of things for me are fascinating. I love to be nosy. I love to see, like, well, where do they write? You know, what's their writing desk like? Is it as cluttered as mine? Or, you know, and I think that's the part that sometimes is missing, is this sort of behind the scenes, sort of, you know, just my author life. Because we think, well, actually, maybe we should only talk about the book. But actually, I think people will buy from you if they get to know you, the author.
They absolutely, absolutely. And I do think that can be another barrier quite often for authors, where you think that showing up on social media is just talking about your book. And then that makes you feel like all you do is talk about your book. And actually, if you build in other types of posts into your content mix, it gives you more opportunities to kind of connect on a more human level with the people who are going to become your reader. I mean, you know, if you've written a nonfiction book about a specific topic, talking about how you arrived at writing about that topic, you know, personal stories about why it's relevant to your life, then gives people the opportunity to tell you their stories as well. And there's this lovely reciprocal back and forth, which allows you to build those relationships with your readers, which then does make it more likely that they're going to go on and buy your book. But it's also just kind of nice to be having these conversations and to just not have this very flat version of how we use social media, which is just to kind of broadcast or use it as a bulletin board. Instead, we use it to build sort of three-dimensional relationships where there are people who you're having genuine, meaningful conversation with. So sharing personal stories about that are relevant to your book in some way is another way, I think, of talking about your book, actually, but without really explicitly talking about your book. So you get released from that pressure as well.
Oh, I agree. And I just think story is the key to everything, really. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I just, you know, I would be interested to know from your experience, what do you think the most common problem is when people start to work with you? What do you find that they, what's the reason they come to you?
I think a lot of, for some people, it's confidence, being more visible. I think for some people that can be quite frightening, that can be quite intimidating. So sometimes we do exercises that work through why is there a worry about being visible? And then we often, you know, it's to do with the people they actually know in their real life, not the people that they're afraid. You know, people talk about trolling and pylons and all that kind of thing, but that's usually quite a small part of people's concerns. It's usually more to do with how the people in their real life will perceive them, you know, people on the school run or members of their family. So we talk about that. And like I say, that very often just comes down to, rather than it being about social media, it's actually about all the stuff that's going on in their life. And social, you know, the thought of being visible on social media magnifies that other stuff. So that's one of the things that sometimes people come to me with. But I think the biggest problem that authors and writers very often come to me with is probably that they don't know how to package what they're doing for a social media platform. You know, they don't need, no, because I always say to them, look, you're writing a book. It's impossible that you've not got any ideas, because very often people will say, well, I don't know what to post. I've got no ideas. I'm like, well, how can you say that? You're writing a whole book. But what they perhaps need is sort of support with, well, how do I take the content of my book and turn it into things that work for social media? And that's very often what we spend a lot of time doing is, you know, we sort of unpack that. We look at the broader themes that they might be writing about. We think about what it is that their ideal reader is going to be interested in. And then we marry up that with the book's content. And then we start to dig into individual post ideas. And then we look at, you know, tactics, which interestingly is very often the first question people ask is like, well, should this be a video? Should this be a static image? Should this be a carousel post? Well, and actually that should be one of the last things you think about. It's really important to think about your audience and think about your themes and ideas, and then start and think about your content ideas. And then finally think about how am I going to present this idea? What is the format of this post going to be? And so very often that's the journey that I go on with a lot of the writers that I work with.
I wonder also whether there's a sense of overwhelm that, so which platform should I be on? Should I be on every platform? And it's almost a resistance to even starting comes from that overwhelm of, oh my gosh, it means I've got to be everywhere and I've got to be on it all the time and I've got to be responding to people. And it does become, or can feel like it's going to become, a full-time job of its own. And I think it's great if you're able to help them find a balance around, yes, be on there, be visible, get yourself out there, talk about yourself, talk about your book, which again is an uncomfortable thing for a lot of people. But actually, how can it feel as though it's manageable, it's not a chore? Because as soon as anything feels too hard, I think we repel it, don't we? We're like, oh, I know I should be on there, but it's just, oh, I don't, you know. And there's that overwhelm piece, isn't there?
But definitely. And I think, you know, being really clear about what your capacity is, you know, because I think sometimes we fall into this trap of thinking if you're going to do it, you've got to do it like 100 miles an hour. And actually, you know, showing up consistently twice a week is going to do way more for you than showing up 7 times a week for 3 weeks and then just not having the time to show up at all. So, you know, just being really clear about your capacity for showing up on social media, and also kind of, and this is, I always feel a bit bad saying this, but it, you know, because people don't always want to hear this, just removing the expectation that you can do it with no effort. It does take some effort, and how much effort you put into it and how much time you spend on it is a very individual decision, but you're not going to get anywhere by putting no effort at all. You know, it literally doesn't come for free. Like the platform itself is free, but the you've got to spend your time. Essentially, time is usually the cost of promoting your book on social media. So being clear about your capacity, accepting that yes, this is going to take some time and some effort, and then kind of going back to that question about who is my audience, who is my ideal audience, can then lead you to where you should be. Which of the platforms should you use? Because if you are writing a very industry specific book, then you're going to want to show up on a different platform to if you're writing a book about motherhood, for example. So, you know, your motherhood audience is perhaps going to be more likely on Instagram or TikTok, but your sort of very industry professional audience is more likely to be on LinkedIn. So going back to that initial question of who is my writing for won't just inform what kind of content you post, it will also inform which of the platforms you should show up on. And as I'm a one-woman band running a business and trying to write a novel and do everything that entails, I'm not on all of the platforms, even though I work in social media, because I cannot be on them. So, you know, setting yourself up on one platform and doing that one really well is far more valuable than spreading yourself really thinly and not doing anything very well at all.
Absolutely agree. I love Instagram. That's my comfort platform, for want of a better expression. But I know, in theory, I have to put more time in LinkedIn, because obviously I'm looking to work with authors who are wanting to grow a business, be known in their niche, be thought leaders. And that is LinkedIn for a lot of the time. But it's something that I've had to force myself to get into, because it's not, for me, my comfort place. But like you said, I've got to be realistic and think, okay, where are the majority of my authors? It's not going to be the only base, and I will always be on Instagram, because I do work with authors who I've met through Instagram as well. So I know it's a platform that is important. But for me as a book coach, I have to be on both. But also for me as a writer, because Dare to Write is a book around how to write a book for your business. Again, I have to be on LinkedIn, because that's where business book authors are likely to be wanting to stand out, maybe more than they would be on Facebook, for example, which I don't particularly utilize, because it's just not the place for me at this present moment. When I write my fiction, a bit like you, it might be that Facebook actually is where cozy, you know, readers of cozy crime like to hang out. I haven't done that research, but you're right. It's about trying to be really specific and targeted with your effort, your energy, but also to get the results you want as well, because there's no point talking to an audience that aren't on the platform you're on. And I think you're so right. Who do you think does it well?
On Instagram, because Instagram is the platform. Like you, I actually like Instagram. I know, you know, lots of people don't. I mean, I do. I've built up some incredible friendships and networks, you know, real friendships, and then also networks of wider support as well via Instagram. And I like the fact that it gives me lots of different post types to play with. You know, I can do a little bit of video, I can do a bit of image, I can do a bit of graphic carousel, which the other platforms I think tend to be a little bit more narrow with the opportunities in terms of what kind of content you can post. So Instagram, like you, is probably my favorite one. So on Instagram, people who do it really well, I mean, Lucy Werner, of course, is excellent, who you mentioned at the beginning. And she does a really great job of kind of mixing in personal bits of her life alongside tips that people can try out in their own PR, because she's a PR specialist, but also regularly sort of talking about her book and regularly saying this is out there and this is how you can buy it. And I think she does a really great job in the kind of businessy space. If you've got listeners who are memoirists, I mean, it's very difficult to do, but Clover Stroud is exceptional in the memoir space. I mean, I think if you're a memoirist, you're talking about things that are very personal in nature in the book that you're writing. Therefore, it makes sense to me to have Instagram content that also tells stories, maybe obviously not long stories, but tell stories about your personal life in the same kind of tone, in the same kind of way. There is a romance writer who's American called Emily Henry. I think her handle is Emily Henry Writes. And she's really interesting because most of her content is actually about other people's books. But what she does is she features books that would sit nicely alongside her own book. So, of course, she's giving her Instagram audience a resource because they know they can always find their next romance read by visiting her account. And they, you know, and she has chats with people about what she says about the books, whether she's liked them and what she thought of them. But then also when she then publishes her books and she's very successful, she then has this engaged audience who are ready to listen to her about her book, who she already knows are interested in her kind of writing, because they've been interested in all of these other books that she's already posted about. I think it's a really interesting way to also kind of shortcut your content creation, because you're just posting about other people's books all the time. And it's a very generous thing to do. You know, you're sort of sharing your platform. She's got quite a big account and she's sharing her platform with lots of other people. So, you know, and that can be, if you're scared, well, scared is a bit harsh, but if you're sort of, if you feel very exposed by sharing details of your personal life, talking about other people's books is a way in. You know, you're still sharing yourself because you're still talking about your opinions. But, you know, you're not doing anything that can make you feel too vulnerable or exposed. And my one caveat is always, though, if you're going to post a negative review, please don't tag the author. They don't need to know. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with just giving your honest opinion, but you really don't need to tag the author.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I can't bear it. And I think, I know there are people out there who just, that's their vibe, you know, to bring people down. And obviously, I'm sure deep within, it comes from a lack of confidence and, you know, an anxiety, whatever, if we try and be, you know, generous. But I totally agree. I think, yes, that, but also if you've loved a book, like, do tag the author, do tell them. And like, really big, because I think there's nothing more incredible than when you see, even now for me, I love it when someone tags me that they're reading Detroit. I just think, you know, and I still like get super excited about it, because I think even if you're like massive as an author, I can't imagine the feeling ever goes away. Maybe you get used to it. I don't know. One day, maybe I'll know. But, you know, you think I'll get used, you know, they're used to it, but I'm sure it still gives them a little fire in their belly or a little like, oh, I'm so happy someone likes it. And I think that's such a brilliant thing to do, to just spend that 30 seconds it takes to share something to your stories, or just to, you know, share that you've shared it with a friend or whatever it is. I just think more of that, please, definitely. But somebody who's also talking, like you were talking about, the romance author, I think how wonderful to, like, let's grow a community here of just people who love romance genre. Like, let's just celebrate each other's work, because there's so much space for everybody. And I think that's the fear, isn't it? It's like, I don't want to talk about other people's books because maybe they won't read mine. And of course, that's not the case. Because
it's not the case. There are very few readers who buy one book a year, you know?
And if you're in a genre, I mean, I'm an absolute, mainly because I'm writing cozy crime. But like my library list is just cozy crime, right? I'm just trying to absorb it as a writer as well, which is takes some of the joy out of it, because you're like, oh, well, how is this structured?
How does it work?
Yeah. But also, like, I just think if you can talk about someone else in your genre, people can be like, this person's really generous and what a kind person. And then when you talk about your book, they'll be like, yeah, let's support her as well. Wow, I love that. I'm going to go and follow her after this conversation. Is there anything that you think, and I use this word really carefully, but do you think anybody, or what is it that people do wrong, if we want to use that word, or what kind of mistakes do people make when they're trying to use social media to promote their books?
Yeah, the two biggest ones that I see all the time is writers posting for other writers. and writers only using their posts to kind of update their audience. So those would be the two biggest mistakes I think people make, the two pitfalls. And I think a lot of that just comes down to sort of not really quite knowing what else to post. Because if you're in the middle of your writing, you know, it makes sense that you are going to be posting about your writing process. But what I think, I do think that should be part of your content. It's not like, don't ever talk about the process. Because I think a lot of your readers will love to sort of get those kind of sneak peeks behind the scenes. And, you know, when you're sharing kind of like update, regular updates of how you're getting on something new, especially if you've already published something and you've got people who are fans of that book that you already put out and they're waiting for the next one, to kind of be part of that process of getting to the next one can be quite an enjoyable thing, I think, for readers. So I think posting for other writers and kind of just almost like in jokes that only other writers will get, you know, it's okay to have in the mix, but just don't only do that. So, you know, I think that, you know, like writing, if you're a memoirist, writing tips about how to write a memoir might be a nice thing to do occasionally, but certainly shouldn't form the backbone of your content, because that's not necessarily something your readers will be interested in. They want the story, they want the themes and the ideas, not the kind of how-to. And then the other one is about, you know, using your content to just update your audience. So sort of sharing when you've got a front cover or cover quotes or publication dates or launches, whatever it is. Again, you should be updating your audience as part of your content mix, but you've got to have something else to give your audience to keep them engaged. You know, otherwise it's more like you're using social media more like a bulletin board, you know, like just a notice board to say this is happening. And it's just not the most engaging way. And the best way to reach more people on social media is to engage the people you already have in conversation. Because if they are engaged with you, they're more likely to share your content with other people. And also just, I mean, with Instagram specifically, because that's where I specialize, the more your content gets engaged with by your existing audience on Instagram, the more likely that horrible robotic algorithm is to push it out to people who don't already follow you, because the signals it gets from people engaging with your content tell it that your content is of value. So it's much more likely to sort of push it out more widely than to other people who might be interested, because, you know, these algorithms are very clever. And they can tell from your habits on Instagram what kind of content you will be interested in. So, you know, like if you're somebody who's regularly interacting with romance authors, you know, they will show you romance authors that you don't already follow as well. So, you know, I think those are the two probably main mistakes I see people make. And, you know, they're not actually that difficult to fix. It's kind of just having an awareness of how else you can use the platform.
The final couple of bits I wanted to talk to you about, one of them is Substack, because it's a place that seems to be really a great place for writers. It seems to be something that is gaining traction more and more. Lots more people seem to be doing newsletters on there and talking about writing and their work on there. How do you feel about that as a platform for writers, first and foremost?
Well, until about September of last year, I knew kind of what Substack was, but I found it very confusing. I was like, what is this thing? I could feel people talking about it. I could hear people talking about it around me. And I was a little bit put off by how kind of evangelical people were about it. It did feel a little bit like Substack cult might be taking place somewhere on the internet. So I was quite wary actually initially. And I still have not reservations. Reservations is perhaps too strong a word, but certainly areas that I am watching with interest about the platform. One of which is that it's still relatively small. I think in the writing world, we perhaps have an overinflated idea of just how many people are aware of it, because so many writers are using it and talking about it regularly. So if you're in a creative space, I think it's something that lots of people are familiar with. But I occasionally do my own kind of very lowbrow market research and ask people who are not writers or not in sort of creative type industry jobs if they've heard of it. And generally the answer is no, what's that? People don't even know what it is. And occasionally when people say, yes, I've heard of it, but I don't really know what it is, that's the other subset of people that you get as well. So I actually think there's a danger that as writers, we are overestimating just how broad the current awareness and appeal of the platform is. So it's definitely one to approach with care, because if you're trying to find readers, and your readers, some of your readers, of course, will be fellow writers, but your readers have no awareness that Substack even exists, then that, you know, that is definitely, it's not to say don't use Substack, but it is just to say bear that in mind, that if you're going to use one platform and one platform only, which of the platforms is going to best serve your purpose? So there's that element to it. And also I've started, so going back to September there, when I didn't really know much about it, I thought, gosh, you know, like so many people are talking about it. And more of my clients were asking me about it as well. Should I set up a Substack was a question I was getting more and more frequently. And I thought, I'm really just going to have to dive in and sort of figure it out. So I did. And it's actually really great. I actually really like it. It allows, you know, it gives me a home to put longer form pieces, to sort of do deeper analyses of things to do with social media that didn't have a home currently, to sort of ask bigger, wider, broader questions than Instagram really allows for, because, you know, it is a more bite-sized kind of platform. So for me, it works brilliantly in that kind of way. And also for me, my clients are writers. So if there's a platform there that is chock full of other writers, it makes perfect sense for me to invest time in it. So I am watching it with interest. I am enjoying the time that I invest in the platform at the moment. And I think that, you know, I have this thing, and it started when I had children, that anyone who tells you there's only one way to do anything is not to be trusted. And I feel that kind of way about Substack, where, you know, there were so many people sort of saying, oh, you have to be on Substack, you must be on Substack. If you're not on Substack, you're missing out, you're missing the boat. And I just don't feel like that. I kind of feel like if it's a place that appeals to you because it allows you to have this longer, a space for longer form content, then go for it. But if your capacity is limited, and you're not 100% sure how you can fit that in as well as other stuff, then, you know, just proceed with caution, I suppose.
No, it really does. No, I think you're right. And you wrote a really good piece the other day, which I was reading, and it really resonated with me around the FOMO aspect. And, you know, have you noticed that you're looking for that notification symbol and all those things? And I mean, it's just like a minefield around like what social media and, you know, maybe negatively does for our need for a dopamine hit and all of that stuff. And I found that what you wrote the other day just so engaging and just so, I mean, brilliantly written. So kudos to you. But also just really resonated with me. I think it resonated from what I could see in the comments with a lot of people.
It's still going. I mean, I published it 2 weeks ago, and it's just been shared again. It's just got this mad flurry again of new shares, because I think that a lot of people are very clear about the reasons why they have either left social media completely or have certainly stepped back from it and are using Substack instead. And that is kind of, you know, that's their kind of philosophy for it. But as Substack, the platform, develops, and they have introduced new features that feel much closer to social media than it originally was, I just think that a lot of the dynamics that people dislike between themselves and traditional social media, if you like, are starting to reappear on Substack. And it was actually, I didn't post for a couple of weeks because I was just so busy, and noticing how that made me feel, I was like, oh my God, I've been here before. This is how before I really got my, when I used to blog and I was using Instagram to promote my blog, so before I trained as a social media manager even, this is how Instagram used to make me feel. And, you know, having to put social media very firmly in its place because it was my work taught me kind of a different approach to it that you know, allows me to kind of keep it in its box. Not to say it doesn't ever creep out of its box, because it definitely does, and I have to kind of stuff it back into its to where it belongs. And I just thought, gosh, Substack is suddenly making me feel like Instagram used to make me feel, and that's interesting. And how many other ways are there that this platform that's kind of been heralded as this alternative to social media, how many other ways is it starting to resemble it more and more? And it has had a huge response, because I think a lot of people are sort of feeling the same feelings and having some of the same thoughts as well.
I absolutely agree. And now I have to ask you, if you don't mind, about your writing, because I know you're here as, in your capacity as a social media expert, but also I'd love to know what you're writing and how it's going.
Yeah. Well, I am writing a novel. I've been writing it since 2020. I somehow wrote the bulk of the first draft during the chaos of 2020. I think it was actually what kept me sane, like having that thing to do that was just for me in the midst of all the parenting, the homeschooling and the work that somehow had to be squashed around it. Yeah, I think the writing of that first draft kept me a little bit sane. And so what is it? It's 2024 and I'm still going. I am getting closer and closer to feeling like it's as good as I can possibly make it. And it's been a slow process because I have to fit it around everything else. And there have been times actually where I've just not known where to go next with it, where I know things aren't working, but I can't quite unpack why. And then I've had a moment of inspiration and sort of, aha, that, you know that whole thing about you're writing even when you're not writing. Like writing is not just about sitting down at your laptop. It's also like all the thinking that you're doing on your walks and when you're doing the washing up or whatever. That is definitely born out to be true. That's a very jumbled sentence, but you know what I mean. There I am. I have queried a few agents. I've had, a handful of really lovely rejections, which in some ways feel worse than the total ghosts, because it's like so close and yet so far. So I haven't got an agent yet. I am just working my way through an editing plan. And my writing group have very generously offered to read the whole manuscript in April. So I have a deadline for the beginning of April. They're going to read the whole thing, which is the first time they'll have read it cover to cover. And actually, I haven't shared any bits with them for about a year. I've shared some short stories with them, and I've made quite a lot of changes in that intervening period. So they're going to read the whole thing from cover to cover. And I hope that whatever feedback they give me might mean that once I've acted on that feedback, I'm ready to query some agents again and see. I've said, right, and then after that, if I don't get an agent off the back of that, I think I might put it away and start something new, because I really feel like I'm very close to getting it as good as I can make it. And without further support from an agent or an editor, I don't think I've got the skills to take it to that to that level yet. And what I've tried to do is think of it as kind of like training wheels. This is the first full-length project I've ever written. It's been a real learning curve. And I think that even if this never sees the light of day, that I've actually got so much out of it that it's going to enable me to go on to a new project.
It's interesting you say that, because I when I was writing for children, I did my course with Golden Egg Academy, and I spent 2 years doing their foundations program and then their sort of second year of the Write Your Novel. And interestingly, all the people that have been published, not all the people, the majority of the writers who are published through sort of off the back of doing Golden Egg, were it was their sort of second novel or their third novel. And it's really interesting because I think there needs to be a novel that you try, you practice on. And actually, it might be, because I love this about Jacqueline Wilson. I know it took Jacqueline Wilson 20 years to get published. So she was querying and all the sorts for 20 years. And then I think it was Tracy Beaker that really sort of got her the deal. And then she obviously had all these books that she'd done in her 20 years of practicing. And I think some of those then became published later on. And so I don't think anything's for waste. And sometimes people will say, because I've done 3 children's novels that, like you say, have never seen the light of day. One that had sort of some interest from an industry editor. But I feel when people are like, oh my gosh, like, isn't that just a waste of time? And I'm like, absolutely not. Like each time I write, I'm learning and I'm practicing and I'm honing the craft. And it's so important to view it like that. Otherwise you do feel a bit bitter and annoyed about it. But actually it just might not be the right time for that book. But it's not to say it will never be the right time. It just might be later on.
And I enjoy writing. So I think that, you know, if you were, I don't know, like a golfer, you don't play golf expecting to make it onto the pro tour. You probably play golf because you just really love it and enjoy it, and it gives you something that other parts of your life don't give you. So I just sort of think, well, of course I would love to be published, but that's not necessarily like the ultimate goal at all. And actually, and my daughter came home, my daughter's 11, and she came home from school the other day having joined kind of like a call. It was like a Zoom call thing with Mallory Blackman. I think it wasn't just their school, it was lots of schools all over. And she said, "Mummy, did you know?" She said, "I've got something I need to tell you. Did you that will make you feel better? Did you know Mallory Blackman got like how many rejections Mallory Blackman got?" And I was like, "No." And it's like, I think it's like 83 or 85. She said, "You see, Mummy, just got to keep going." And I thought, you know, actually, A, she's right, and B, like, in a way, I feel like my daughter's seeing me kind of just persevering and doing something because I love it, and just not giving up, not letting it kind of grind me down that I might not be where I ultimately would like to be, not letting that stop me. I also think in itself is a bit of a gift. So there's lots of upsides to just sort of keeping going, regardless.
And like you say, if you write for writing's sake and enjoyment's sake, anything else that comes off the back of it is just a bonus. I think if you're trying to write just for one sole thing of being published, it can totally skew the experience. But there's not to say there's not times of absolute frustration that, of the process, or like you say, the querying stages and waiting to hear back and rejection, all that, it can be messy and uncomfortable and hard. But if it's underpinned by just the joy of writing, then, you know, you eventually find your feet and get back into it. But, well, I can't wait to hear the progress. It's so exciting. Just before we finish then, one final question, which is, if you had one piece of advice for aspiring authors, or in this conversation for actual authors who are already out there and they're published, around social media, what would that advice be?
Use social media to make connections, not sales. I think it's kind of a little bit of a mantra for me. If you make the connections, the sales will come.
I love that. How succinct and brilliantly put. But I think it's right about anything you're trying to sell or, you know, be known for. If you can build a community around you, that all of that just comes because people love what you're doing. So what a great piece of advice. Love that. What a great one to finish on. Thank you. And thank you for your time today. I've absolutely loved this conversation, and I'm sure this is going to be a very popular episode because I think people really do need this kind of support. So I will link to you and the wonderful work you're doing in the show notes so people can find you. Where can they find you on Instagram if they wish to go do that immediately?
Yes, they can find me at @toomuch_social. So Too Much Social is my business name. So @toomuch_social is my Instagram handle.
Fantastic. Well, I will signpost them to that in the show notes. But like I say, thank you again. And I'm sure I'd love to chat to you again in the future, you know, because social media is such an evolving thing all the time and never stays the same. So yeah, I'd love to have you back in the future to chat some more. But thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Steph. Thank you.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed listening to Nicola as much as I loved talking to her. She's such a font of knowledge around social media, particularly Instagram. I love her approach and how warmly she shares her expertise. We both used to be teachers, so we had a good natter about that afterwards too. I think it's given us such a diverse set of skills that helps both of us to do what we do now. I want to express my thanks again to Nicola for her time and for the valuable advice she shared with me in the episode. If you want to connect with her, you can find the links to her social media in the show notes. If you know another writer who'd enjoy these episodes, do share it with them. You can give me a shout out on social media using the hashtag CreatingHappyWriters. If you'd like to connect, you can find me at stephcaswell.com and on Instagram at stephcaswellauthor. I'm also on LinkedIn, so come and find me and let's connect, let's chat. Tell me about your book and your book writing journey. But until next time, happy writing.